The following program will make you want to grow things and experience new and wonderful dreams about your plants, garden, and garden design. Listener participation is strongly advised. Good evening and welcome to Down the Garden Path with your host, Joanne Shaw, right here on Reality Radio 101. To contact Joanne live this evening, right now, dial 905-725-1907. Toll free anywhere in North America, 1-866-905-7325. Worldwide, 1-866-656-5477. Send Joanne an email in studio101@gmail.com. And now, back from her New Year's celebration, your host of Down the Garden Path, Joanne Shaw.
Thank you very much, Gary, and Happy New Year, everyone. Welcome back to Down the Garden Path, where we discuss down-to-earth tips and advice for your plants, gardens, and landscapes. And as a fellow gardener, and even more so as a landscape designer, I think it's important and possible to have great gardens that are low maintenance. And I do my best each week to bring you interesting, relevant, and helpful topics and guests that can help us with our yards and gardens. There is certainly no shortage of topics or wonderful experts, especially this time of year when we might be not quite in the garden, but dreaming about the garden. And so joining me once again this evening is our resident horticulturalist, Matthew Dressing. He is joining me for today's show to kick off 2017. And we thought, welcome to the show, Matt.
Well, thank you, Joanne.
So we thought we would, the best topic. We've been researching gardening trends for 2017, kind of go with the whole New Year theme, right, for our first show of 2017.
Yes.
We thought we'd talk a bit about gardening trends or 2017, what's kind of been published out there, and also some of our gardening, our own personal gardening plans for 2017 as well. If you have questions or comments or anything you have for us as we kick off the down the garden path for 2017, please feel free to contact us at email is instudio@gmail.com. So thank you for listening. So gardening trends, Matt.
Gardening trends.
I know. What do you think? What's the first one that we've talked about this at length, but why don't you start us off with the biggest one you think is continuing this year?
Yeah, I think it's going to be growing your own. For those who've heard me before, I'm working in a garden center, and that's the only category that's constantly growing and expanding. Grow your own is just moving in leaps and bounds. So I think it's going to be all about starting from seed, growing indoors, going organic, having your, everything local and GMO free.
Yes. People wanting more control of their food.
Right.
Yes. Yep. Yeah, definitely. And I can concur with the garden center in that all my landscape designs this year and all my consultations, everyone asked for, even if it was just the tiniest spot or even if someone asked just about putting it in a container, they had it on their minds about growing their own food.
Yeah.
Yes.
And I heard very similar things in the garden center, too. We're looking to redo this area, but, we need a little veggie spot. Or where are the containers to grow some veggies in?
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
Yeah, definitely. And I think it's the whole, it's tying in with the buy local as well.
Right.
You know, people not only want to grow their own, but they're also looking to other, you know, local urban farmers or sources for their honey, you know, as opposed to buying it from the grocery store. You know, people wanting to know where their food's coming from.
Right.
Don't you think?
Yep. Where their food's coming from. That whole 100-mile diet kind of mentality.
Yes.
Knowing the farmers at the local farmers market, knowing their food.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Do you go to farmers markets?
Yeah, I go to the Oshawa farmers market, actually.
Oh, okay.
Oshawa, Ontario, Canada.
There you go.
Why further worldwide listeners. Yeah, every Friday at the Oshawa Center, and you get to meet great people from around the Durham region.
Excellent. Yeah. Excellent. It's Tuesday afternoons. Is it Friday evenings there? Because Tuesday afternoons in Pickering.
Oh, it's usually Friday morning.
Oh, okay.
At the Oshawa Center in the parking lot from 8 to 4, I think.
Okay. Yeah. So, yeah, they definitely are popping up and become a staple. I know the Pickering one has kind of moved a bit because things have changed where but yet the demand is still there. So they keep finding a new area,
right?
You know, a new parking lot to go to because the demand is there. And I think it's a great way for the farmers to meet the, I guess, end user and for the clients customers to actually meet who's growing their food. So, and even though it does often, for the most part, cost more, I think there's a lot of people who, you know, are willing to overlook that just because they want to know where it's coming from.
Right. Yeah. They're feeding themselves with better food, but also feeding that economy and helping their neighbors. And
Yeah, definitely. And what are the things that are growing? I mean, are there kits that are happening at the garden centers, or what is it that people are buying that's feeding that whole trend?
Yeah.
Put you on the spot with that question.
A little bit of everything. I mean, right now we've got all of our seeds in
Already?
Stock.
It's still too soon, though.
It's still very, very soon.
That's one of my biggest complaints. Like, people don't be starting your tomato seeds.
No.
Yeah.
No, but the selection is out there, and it can be limiting sometimes. So, I mean, getting in
Doing
that, getting the varieties that you want, planning your garden.
Yes.
Making sure you know what you're going to grow and how much do you have the right space. Do you need a new design? Do you need containers?
Yes. Now, are you personally a seed starter?
No.
Okay.
No.
I've confessed before, and I will continue to confess. I am absolutely not a seed starter, but I do know all my friends on Facebook, my gardening friends in the garden chat community. Everybody's like posting pictures of their seed catalogs, and they're like pouring over them, and they're all keen, which is great. More power to you. I have no patience. I have zero patience, and I actually, you know, this year I even bought a plant already started and I still got the wrong plant. Like, I did not, I bought a cherry tomato plant. I wanted that Sweet Million and I did not get that. It was something else. And so I still, you know, this grow your own food continues to haunt me and my lack of ability to be successful. I was uber successful on growing jalapeno peppers, overly successful because we couldn't eat them all. We couldn't do. And I ended up throwing that last bowl of them away. And I was so mad at myself. Oh. So anyway, we did make some successful. We learned about candied jalapeno peppers.
Ooh.
and we loved it. We ate that jar so fast. But then the second batch, we never got around to doing it again. The second batch that we harvested.
Right.
So I have to confess that as much as I want to be on that bandwagon, I can't seem to succeed at that. So I'm excited to hear if you've got some success stories and something like that. I'd love to hear it. But continues to evade me. And maybe because I'm in the industry and I'm, you know, can't really. Yeah, I don't know. I can make up all the excuses in the world. But this number one garden trend, I totally agree. I think we've definitely seen it growing, and I'm excited for it. I'm excited to help you. The show is a wonderful avenue. We've had lots of guests on in the past. We've got lots of exciting guests coming up in 2017 that can help you succeed. I just can't speak from my my own experience. So... what's your next, what's the next thing on the list here? We've got an email. Let's see. Welcome back. Oh, yes. Thank you, Harry. So Harry's written in. He's saying, welcome back and happy new year. Glad to have you back because it gives us hope for spring. Yes, definitely. It's a pretty cool day out there, but...
and be safe tomorrow.
Tomorrow. Are they still calling for bad tomorrow?
Yeah.
Okay. Well, thank you, Harry. Thank you for listening. The other, I can totally agree with this next one that we've kind of put on our list, is lawns.
Oh.
That, like, it's the bane of everybody's existence.
It is.
And people are definitely looking for alternatives. They're switching, you know... artificial turf, good or bad, in some areas it has its purpose.
Mm-hmm.
I can speak to going a little crazy on mulching and kind of really, I've talked about this on the show and on my website, my own health strip garden this year. I don't know if you, did you hear about that?
No.
I commandeered a whole bunch of grass and laid cardboard down. Three trips of dumpster diving for cardboard because I did not get enough cardboard. And my husband almost stopped speaking to me because I had to keep going. And he's like laying cardboard and my son's laying mulch. And I can't keep up with them because of how much cardboard we needed. And I have to give you a little update on that, everybody, in that I still didn't get enough because we should have overlapped more. So before the frost, like just before Christmas, before it started to get really cold, even though no grass grew in that area beforehand, but with all that cardboard and all that mulch on top, the grass was peeking up in between. So I was really frustrated. I used some pickling vinegar. I heard that was a good remedy. Thanks mm-hmm. to Nancy Green, our fellow friend and landscape designer. And then the cold hit. So I've had good snow cover. So I had Evelyn Haddon has written a book about health strip gardening. And... you know, gardening in tough places. And so this is a tough place. And I was so tired of seeding and watering and trying to get this lawn to grow that I've decided to go with heart. Well, once it eventually decomposes and when I have time next year, I will plant a garden there, but extend my garden. So what are some other things that people are looking at in their, as far as their lawns or lawn alternatives when you're at the garden center?
One of the main ones is clover. Half the people are coming in to get rid of it, and the other half are buying bags of clover seed to overseed everywhere.
Really?
Yeah, and they absolutely love it. And it's so low maintenance. It survives all that drought we had this summer.
Mm-hmm.
It flowers very early in the spring, which is great because it's one of the first sources for all those bees that we want to protect. So it's a nice nectar source. Yeah, and they're just mixing it in with their lawn. Some people are totally ripping up their lawn and just putting down pure clover.
Now, do they have to cut it?
No, you don't have to cut it. You can just leave it. It just kind of makes a nice, big, thick spreading mat. Stays green, very drought resistant when established.
Really?
And
it's the same clover that other people consider a weed? Or are they different strains?
No, it's pretty strains? Much it's pretty much that white that
okay,
white
so it is white
strain.
Clover.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
And how do they protect, like prepare their lawn for clover?
Mm-hmm. Most of them are just kind of like you would do resodding for reseeding for your lawn. They're basically just taking it down to the soil, adding a nice layer of compost or rich organic material, and then just putting down the seeds.
The top dressing.
That lawn top dressing.
Yeah.
Others are just doing it just like top dressing. They're not even putting any top dressing down. They're just sprinkling it in and just letting it kind of slowly take over and
take over their lawn.
Yep.
But then how do you deal with the other weeds? Like, then it just becomes a...
Then it just becomes a menagerie of things you need to pick.
Absolutely.
yeah, and then there's, of course, you know, the dandelions. You'd have to get in there and do your regular...
Dandelions don't bother me as much because, they're also an early bloomer for the bees. So they do provide early nectar for the bees, or pollen, what they're providing. Anyway, both. Let's say both for the bees. But also when it gets hot and when we're really struggling with our lawn, they're gone. Like they don't like the heat, right? They really are an early spring and then they're done.
Yeah. You see them again in the fall. I think it's something that they only... they're only active or growing. They're not dormant when there's less than 12 hours of sunlight.
Oh,
so they vanish for the summer.
Oh.
Yeah, and then they come back out and you see that little group of them in the fall.
But. See, I thought it was a temperature thing, but that's interesting. That would be a sunlight thing. Yeah. Well, that is interesting. So would clover work? Because I know I sometimes have clients where there's areas, let's say with stepping stones, where they're thinking of using like steppables like ajuga or creeping thyme, like where it might be easier just to use the clover?
Just to use clover. Yeah, you could do that. They have a little taller stem to them, so they you might get
so
a little more
steppable.
Footprint-y.
Yeah,
right. Yeah, it might need to rebound a bit. But
okay.
Yeah.
Now, would it seed and then go into their, if they didn't, let's say they didn't want it in their lawn?
Yeah, yeah. So if you didn't want it in your lawn and you had it in an adjacent area, yeah, you'd have to watch those seed heads. They'll continue to spread like normal clover will.
Oh, okay, okay. Yeah. So it's a fairly, good or bad, it takes over.
Right.
Artificial turf, I'm a little still bit on the fence about it. It looks good in magazines.
Yes.
Unfortunately, it photographs really well. I do have a client who, she did small yard. We did it all interlocked. She added a hot tub, a shed, a little bit of garden, and then she needed two strips of grass for her dogs. And so she tried that for a couple years and it just didn't work. 4 years, actually. She lived with this crappy grass and the dogs, whatever, whatever. And so it was just this past year she said, you know what, it just still looks terrible when I'm out there. Can we do artificial grass instead? And that's what we did. So I don't have any photos yet. We'll see
Yeah. Is she liking it still? Do you know if she has?
Yeah, I think it's just more convenient and it does look better. Because even though it's still a couple of rolls of sod, you still have to water it and you still have to cut it to be, you know, to enjoy your yard.
Right.
And she said the hassle of getting out the lawnmower to cut, you know, two strips of grass, because right. We did do a renovation in her front yard this year, so she has no grass in her front yard either. So I think it just was went with the whole thing where we can now have a full garden in her front yard. And then she's got the sod, because the other thing too is you can put the two strips of sod down for your dog and patio the rest of your yard, but it doesn't mean the dog's going to go.
Yeah.
You know, the dog's going to go where the dog, for the most part. You know, I'm sure there's some dogs who won't go on the patio, but as far as my experience is, they'll go where they want to go.
They're going to go.
For whatever reasons.
Yeah.
And so I think she found that the grass for them wasn't really, you know, that much of a draw. So I could see that in that kind of context. Doing your whole front lawn, I don't know that we're there yet. As a designer, I don't know. I don't know that I could do it.
Yeah. I've only heard of one place, one backyard in Whitby.
Okay. And I have a front yard in Pickering.
And the front yard in Pickering?
Yes.
Yeah. And I know downtown, because I was in Vancouver last summer.
Okay.
We were walking downtown and a lot of the condo buildings they just have along the boulevard, you know, they have that 2 to 3 foot wide or deep strip.
Yeah.
Of, you know, 7 feet along the sidewalk. They're doing it a lot there as well.
Okay. Be interesting to see if that is happening in Toronto. Like, wonder if some of those yards are pretty tiny.
Yeah.
So definitely for a smaller space, I could see that. Ruth has written in about you will not have any problems now finding cardboard if you need it. Lots of discarded Christmas packaging over the next few weeks as people use stuff. Happy New Year. Thank you very much, Ruth. You're right, because I went and discarded a ton of it over the holidays myself. And I was thinking about that. I'm like, if there wasn't snow, I would get out there and kind of patch it up. So I think when we do have a bit of a warm spell, I'm going to make sure. Because I think sometimes where the flaps were of the boxes,
right. There
were more seams. And I don't know. And I can't criticize my husband because I wasn't there, because I was out dumpster diving. If we had done it together, I would have made sure things overlapped a bit more. But I think he just kind of butted cardboard up.
Yeah.
And it's frustrating that the grass that wasn't growing in the first place is now squeezing in between these little spaces. I will continue to document my dilemmas on my Facebook page and my website. please tune in, Ruth, and watch what happens. But yes, we discarded a lot of cardboard.
Yes. Well, you'll have to come see me at the garden center.
That's right. Oh, you probably have lots there, right?
Right. When we get the tropicals, they all come in cardboard boxes.
That's right. Have that come in?
Yep.
They've come in. Tropicals. Excellent. That's what we could talk about next, about the big. This is the time of year, surprisingly, to buy your tropicals.
Yes.
And one of the actual trends. So we're referring to several trends that Pam Pennock actually laid out in the Garden Design magazine. Which is a great and fabulous magazine, and I highly recommend picking that subscription up. It's really worth it. And so she'd written this article, Design Trends for 2017. We're covering a few of the ones that we see, you know, because different trends are different. This is American Magazine, and we've got someone else that wrote a British article. And so I think we need to draw from everywhere, and sometimes some of these trends we're seeing and some of them not so much yet, you know?
Right.
But I definitely agree with houseplants. I think it's kind of going on. People, it's a bit less of a commitment. Plus, we have a lot of condo and apartment dwellers
right.
that are wanting to try their hand at growing plants. And so they're starting with houseplants.
Yeah, starting with houseplants, bringing that green space indoors.
Yes. And I think that we were talking earlier about the other trend is succulents. So we might as well go.
Yeah.
The other trend is succulents. And I think that... low maintenance, easy growing plant that's popping up everywhere all over Pinterest, all over magazines,
everywhere
has kind of spiraled into houseplants, don't you think?
I agree, yeah. People are finding succulents, low maintenance, enjoyable, colorful. There are a variety of different types and styles, and I think it's just a gateway to all these other low maintenance, really incredible houseplants that you can be having in your spaces.
Yeah, definitely. Well, let's talk more about that when we get back from commercial break.
Right.
There's so much to talk about. Why don't we pause now? And thank you for listening to Down the Garden Path here on Reality Radio 101. We'll be right back.
In the Hollywood Hills and the Boulevard, her parents threw big parties. Everyone was there.
Choosing a restoration or general contractor can be a very daunting task. Who do you trust? What are their credentials? How much will my restoration or contracted project cost? Relax, take a deep breath, and then call Elite Restorations. At Elite Restorations, we have the ability, enthusiasm, and professional personnel to get your restoration or contracted project completed on time, within budget, and guaranteed. We specialize in kitchen, bathroom, and basement renovations and only use the absolute best materials available to give your special project a beautiful new look and great function. Still need more information? Then visit our website at www.eliterestorations.ca or please call us at 905-686-5854. Elite Restorations, Canadian-owned and operated, for over 10 years. Are you currently looking for home, automobile, business, or life insurance and live in the Durham, Ontario region, but you are just not sure where or who to turn to? Relax. The answer is WO Insurance Brokers. WO Insurance Brokers offers personalized service with very competitive rates. We offer monthly payments as well as a claims guarantee, making your insurance needs less stressful. Policy discounts are also available too. So what are you waiting for now? Call WO Insurance Brokers at 905-436-9090. Visit our website at www.woinsurancebrokers.com for more information. Remember, when you need a caring and professional insurance brokerage, WO is for you. At WO Insurance Brokerage, we are your hometown broker.
The following program will make you want to grow things and experience new and wonderful dreams about your plants, garden, and garden design. Listener participation is strongly advised.
Welcome back to Down the Garden Path with your host, Joanne Shaw, right here on Reality Radio 101. To contact Joanne live by telephone, it's simple, it's easy, it's fun. 905-725-1907. Toll free anywhere in North America. And we mean anywhere. 1-866-905-7325. Send us an email in studio101@gmail.com. And now, admiring my green thumb for my plant in the control room of Reality Radio 101. Back to Joanne Shaw.
Thank you, Gary, and welcome back, everybody. Once again, joining me is Matthew Dressing, horticulturalist extraordinaire, as we talk about gardening trends from 2017. And yes, during the break, we're both admiring that philodendron. That
I thought you were looking at something on the wall that was crawling or something. You're pointing and I'm going, what's going on?
Exactly. So
isn't that beautiful?
I know. And it has we are in the basement. There is no natural light. You have a nice spotlight kind of on it, but it's still a regular light bulb, right?
Yeah, that's right. It's not hydroponic or anything but it's I can't believe that was such a small plant.
Yes,
almost as coming out like a seedling. It was very small.
Like I was really not very generous.
No,
like
you were nice. I was very and I'll never forget the day you came in and you said, here, this is for you and this is for the control room so you can get some oxygen or something.
That's right. Yeah, it's for fresh air because you were always sick.
I know. So we put that in here. Yes. And I've been taking care of that like it's a little kid.
I know. And I think you need another one. I think you've graduated.
It's gorgeous.
I think you've graduated. But
everybody that comes in, they go, oh my goodness, look at your plant.
I know.
Right? It's just crawling. I'm just going to let it go, right? I love it. So
We were talking about houseplants and the trends are really going crazy. And lots of magazines are featuring them. Again, Pinterest, I think, has fueled it. Terrariums.
Terrariums are huge.
Huge. Why don't you describe what kind of plant or, you know, people making like the glass bowls into terrariums and little houses into terrariums? You've not been looking at Pinterest. Blank stare from Matthew.
No, you know what? I honestly haven't been on Pinterest for a couple of weeks now.
So. Okay.
But yes, a lot of, even in the garden center, just talking from personal experience.
Yes.
Of always finding fancy glass bowls and different artistic pieces just to turn into terrariums.
Like you're doing that for samples and stuff?
Yeah,
ideas?
At the store and people coming in with their own pieces. I just found this interesting glassware at a flea market. Can we do something with it?
Oh.
And most certainly people are doing herbs. They're doing mixed cactuses and succulents like we were talking about before.
Okay.
Air plants is super popular.
Yes. Okay. I know even our Hort Society, we did a workshop in October, I think, last year. And we did everybody had to bring in a rose bowl, they called it. So it was the bowl. And one of the ladies led a demonstration of creating her own terrarium.
Yeah.
And mine did not survive, but that's okay. you know, what can I do? I tried. So that was, you know, definitely a very popular workshop. So that was the Pickering Horticultural Society.
Oh, nice.
Definitely everybody was really keen on that. So,
and it's so simple to do. I mean, we even at the garden center have a terrarium kit. So it's a little bag. You come in, it's $15 or varying prices depending on where you get it. And it comes with everything you need, the soil, the moss, the stones. You just need to find a container.
Not the plants though.
Right. No,
okay.
You have to pick your own plants.
Okay.
And then I guess just one of the most common questions I get with terrariums is the covering of the terrarium, if you're going to use a cover.
Oh, okay.
Remember that succulents and cacti don't like to be covered. They need that air circulation and that heat.
Right.
But the tropical foliage, leafy plants like your philodendron or your coffee or your ficus.
Ferns and stuff?
Ferns or air plants. They can have that lid on them to keep that humidity in there.
Oh, yeah. That's a good idea. Because I know even I did a trade show last year and raffled off that bird cage.
That was fantastic.
So I built this with all the succulents and the trailing plants. I'd got a bird cage and it was a hit. And everybody had lots of people enter the draw, the raffle. And the lady who won it, I should follow up with her to see how it made out. But I had so much fun doing it. So, so it's something, you know, check out. If you don't know what we're talking about, then check out Pinterest and search terrarium, succulents. But I definitely see more and more people trying them and not being afraid, like Gary, even in the natural light, and it's still doing really well. Yeah. So,
and there are a lot of really forgiving,
absolutely
easy houseplants. If you haven't tried one, a spider plant, we joke that if you can kill a spider plant, you probably shouldn't grow anything.
They're
tougher than nails.
Okay.
They're super easy. One of NASA's top 10 air purifying plants.
That's right. Yes.
They produce babies. You can give them to kids to start little projects.
Yeah.
Put them in terrariums. They're fantastic. So,
okay.
Just your terrarium with your bird cage. Is that something that we could, you know, locate on if the listeners wanted to, could they follow you on your Twitter page or find that on your thing?
They probably could. On my face, I think I had it on Facebook, so okay. I could probably find that picture or maybe even just retweet that out. Yeah.
Because it was fantastic. I remember that. Beautiful.
I should have made two tequila, one tequila for myself. Should've. But as our listeners would know, I probably would have killed it. But anyway, it was a lot of fun. And it was addictive to pick the right plants and to space them out so you had the the right look to them. It was a lot of fun. So I can see. So if you haven't tried it and if you're wanting to start something and you think just buying one plant might be a little boring, then look at those terrarium ideas, because I think it's a way to have like a little indoor garden, but small.
Exactly.
And I think it's also the people that have tried that have kind of going into other things like hydroponically growing, aquaponically growing. I'm hearing people, we've had a guest on before to talk about the tower garden. So people growing vegetables. It's not only houseplants indoors, but growing their vegetables year round, hydroponically indoors. There's a few different systems. I know the growing tower garden is one of them. Does the store sell anything like that?
We sold mainly the tower garden. Sorry,
oh, okay.
I forgot the word. The tower garden. And it was very popular with growing your own kitchen herbs in a bright, sunny window. Yeah.
I hear it grows, produces a lot.
It does.
So that's good. I mean, especially, arugula, salad, lettuce, all that types of thing. So I think I find it interesting that one of the articles mentions herbal tea gardens. So that seems a little advanced for me. That seems a little daring.
Yeah.
What do you think?
I agree.
Okay.
I've always heard is a very special kind of thing. I mean, if there are any tea growers out there who has a tea garden, please write in. We'd love to
hear
your thoughts on that.
And I also envision that when you look at how many seeds, we've lost Gary.
There
you go. We're on our own, guys. when you look at a little tea bag, there looks like there's a lot of stuff in there, and I can't imagine how much you'd have to grow indoors to create like more than one tea bag. Like, I don't know. I just think it's a little bit adventurous. But hey, if you're looking forward to it and want to try it, especially if you have a favorite, like if you're a bergamot or a lavender person, those are plants you are really specific to grow that maybe turn into a good tea.
Yeah.
So I'm sure Pinterest would be something to look for there as well. So what else as far as garden trends go? What else did we want to talk about? I know we have so much to talk about.
There's a lot of things happening in 2017.
Pollinators still tend to be a big one.
Pollinators.
It didn't really make the list, but it's still, I think in Ontario, it's still a big thing.
It is still a very big thing here.
Yes.
Yeah. Keeping all the pollinators and the bees, and even not even just the bees, just the pollinators. Remembering
right, butterflies, that. Other birds.
Right. So many other insects and animals actually act as pollinators,
right.
Bees being the big guy.
Yeah.
Yeah.
For sure. And I think it ties, everything flows nicely, because I think it still ties between the buy local, because
right.
A lot of people are concerned about where they buy their plants from, because they don't want the chemicals to already be on their plants when they buy them. So that's where they're going to the smaller growers a bit.
Yeah.
And asking questions at the garden center, being much more informed consumer, don't you think?
Yes.
I think the whole issue has really made fueled people to be much more aware.
Yes, I was going to say, many more people are much more aware.
Yeah,
they know that neonicotinoid.
That's right.
Word.
You're very good at saying that. I avoid saying that. I'll say neonics. And we are. I'm excited. We're going to have Steve Lawrence. I know for our listeners, Steve has been on a couple times in the past. I think in my first year, and he is a bee farmer in southern Ontario, and he's going to join us next week. So we're going to continue our chat about pollinators. But the one thing that both lists that we looked at mentioned that both Matthew and I were a little puzzled by, kind of ties with the whole tea growing people, would be the, they're saying natural dye gardens. So people that are growing plants and flowers, specifically flowers, that they can then pick and use to create their own dye for dyeing fabrics and yarns and stuff, which, more power to you. So if you are willing to try that, then I think that's really neat. I think it would be an interesting thing to do with kids, for sure.
Oh, I think, yeah, that would be a fantastic craft.
Absolutely. Yeah. And I think the cool thing is that if we're planting a lot of pollinator plants, pollinator-friendly plants to begin with, then, you know, you've already got them in your garden, right?
Right. A lot of the herbs and veggies and pollinators that you're growing already have those colors, though, that can sustain a dye for those fabrics and textiles.
Definitely, definitely. So it's not something that I've tried. I've definitely followed a few people on Instagram that are doing it. And anyway, it's something to think about as far as a new trend. You know, like I said, sometimes these trends creep up on us and we read about them before we really see them take off. And I think that's one of them. I think it's tied into the whole macrame. I think the house plants and the yarn and the knitting is really bringing back, and the growing your own, it's kind of like bringing back the whole macrame. So I've definitely seen that in magazines, in how-to guides, and even a local florist was doing a demonstration on how to do it.
Oh, and how to make it.
Yeah, and how to make a macrame wall hanging. So I know our grandmothers and my mother-in-law, if she's listening, I had lots of macrame when I first met her. And so I don't know if you have to tell me if you still know how to do it. You can teach me. So I think those trends, you know, I know that's not particularly garden related, but I think it's tying into, because one of the most famous things to do with a macrame hanging is holding a plant, you know.
See, a nice house plant hanger.
That's right.
Yep.
That's right. We can get you one of those, Gary. Did you want to hang a macrame hanger?
I will.
So, but yeah, I think it's just bringing people back to some natural things. Using something, like creating something that has a purpose,
right,
too, which I think is, again, not necessarily garden related, but I think it is a trend because we have so much stuff.
Yes.
What are we creating it for, right, you know, and to create stuff or gift stuff that actually has a purpose. So, so that's kind of a neat trend. What's another one of your favorite ones from our list?
I like the dwarf shrubs. Dwarf shrubs
are
huge.
That's my favorite, too.
They're huge in the garden center right now. As the houses get bigger and the lawns and the overall plot size get smaller, that's the number one, one of the number one questions that we're getting in the nursery is, what do you have to fit my small space?
Mm-hmm.
And it kind of also ties back into your grow your own. A lot of new, the biggest one is called Brazzleberry.
Oh, right.
Right. And it's the dwarf, in the raspberry case, a thornless shrub that you can, is perfect for containers or condo gardening that are self-fertile, so you don't need multiple plants to fertilize. They'll basically pollinate themselves and produce massive amounts of fruit.
So they will grow in a container.
Right, they will. They have been designed and bred to grow in a container. We did that at the garden center, actually, and had quite a number of different blueberries and strawberries, raspberries. And
now, if you do put in the garden, are they as invasive?
They're not
that's
as
the thing. People
either
want to do raspberries, but they're invasive.
Especially with the raspberries. Yeah, and this raspberry only grows to about 2 feet wide and about 3 feet tall, and then she just stops.
Wow.
Which is perfect.
Absolutely. And I think it also goes with the whole trend towards low maintenance and our aging gardeners.
Right.
That, you know, as much as they love the perennial gardens, I get that a lot. I get people who just really love their English garden, perennial gardens, but they just physically can't maintain them
anymore.
It's a lot of work to deadhead. It's a lot of work to divide them.
It is.
So really looking towards, you know, how can I still have a colorful seasonal garden without the work, unfortunately, of a lot of perennials. And I think the dwarf shrubs have come a long way, and they are my favorite. I use very few in my designs, very few perennials, unfortunately, because I just think your better bang for your buck are the shrubs.
Yeah. 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 You get a lot of the shrubs. You get that winter interest. There's a lot of the new nine barks, a couple of new dogwoods out there that give you that color through the season.
Yeah.
Yep.
And the hydrangeas. You can't pass up those hydrangeas. And the weigelias that have that two seasonal, you know, so with the flowers in the spring, but then all year it's burgundy or variegated pink and white and green.
That My Monet series.
Yeah, the My Monet series. So you really can't, you know, they really have a big place in the, especially small gardens where you can only have a few plants.
Right.
You know, I think the dwarf shrubs really, I think that trend is going to continue to grow. And I think we're seeing that because they're continuing to make more.
Yeah.
You know, and
Horde industry, they're just trying to make as many as possible.
Yes. The 10-foot, you know, limelight hydrangeas, as much as I love them, it's just a monster to keep under control.
It is. And that's the best example, too, is the hydrangeas.
Yeah.
All the classics that we love in our garden all have suddenly, two or three little kid versions or dwarf versions of themselves.
Yeah, little baby sisters.
Right.
Well, I wanted to talk about what our plans are for the garden in our own gardens this year. So why don't we pause for a commercial break, and we will be right back to talk about our gardening plans for 2017. And we'd love to hear yours. Thanks for listening to Down the Garden Path here on Reality Radio 101. We'll be right back.
Are you curious about your birth sign? Have you ever wondered about the most positive day to choose for a wedding or the best date to schedule an upcoming event? Have you ever questioned what the planets and stars have to do with your future? If you stated yes to these questions, then you need to consult astrologer extraordinaire Marilyn Mazzotta for your very own personal astrological reading. Marilyn is a certified professional astrologer with over 35 years of amazing astrological experience, providing her clients with enlightening consultations that are available over the phone or through Skype. Please check out the many professional astrological services that Marilyn has to offer at www.readingsbymarilyn.com. That's www.readingsbymarilyn.com. Why wait? Get a fresh and new perspective on your life. You will be amazed.
Hey, it's George Andrew here. I am a full-time freelance and independent disc jockey and have been operating for many years in the GTA and surrounding areas, playing the whole spectrum of the DJ world at many and every type of function and occasion. I have also owned and operated my own DJ service and company, Go Ahead Disc Jockeys, at your service. My range of bookings includes banquet halls, nightclubs, bars, weddings, radio, fashion shows, cruise boats, schools, sports stadiums, product launches, corporate events, and the spectrum of engagements goes on and on and on. Equipment-wise, I use Denon DJ technology, Electro Voice speakers, Yamaha and Crown amplification, and Shure microphones. I'm also fully insured with State Farm. More of my biography is available on the website. And if you require any further details, have any questions, or require further information, please contact me at your convenience. And stay dancing.
Somebody told me once in a lifetime.
Welcome back to Down the Garden Path with your host, Joanne Shaw, right here on Reality Radio 101. Send us an email in studio101@gmail.com. And now, right back to your host, Joanne Shaw.
Thank you, Gary, and welcome back, everyone, to Down the Garden Path as we talk about garden trends for 2017 with my guest partner here, Matthew Dressing. And I think we've covered a whole bunch of different trends, and I'd love to know your thoughts. So if you want to email us in, if you want to tweet me, once again, my website is downtoearth.ca with the number 2. All my social media locations are there. And I'd love to hear from you and see what trend you like, what trend you don't see yourself doing. I don't see myself dyeing fabric anytime soon. I will continue. I think my, as if we talk a bit about our, I know I'm not like, I'm not, you know,
dye.
I just know. And I think that's one of the things, it sometimes sucks to have boys because I think it'd be a good thing to do if I had a daughter and be like, oh, let's try this. And I've done the drying flowers. I've got the microwave flower press and I've done that kind of thing. And I've, you know, created artwork. Like I can be pretty crafty and I kind of like that stuff. But nobody else in my home appreciates it whatsoever. So yeah, I have to talk to Nancy because Nancy's a sewer and a knitter. So I have to see.
We should get Nancy to test it out. Start a knitting circle.
So we'll have to see. But I mean, I think it's really cool though. Like if it's something you're looking for a particular color or just to say that you did it, you know, that you grew the plants, that colored the yarn, that made that sweater, or made that little purse for your daughter. I mean, I think it's a really admirable,
neat because it's everything, all of our colors are, you know, markers and so thin synthetic. And this is, to me, like the origin of colors.
Yes.
Are those things that have always grown and been around us.
Yeah, no, it's true. Yeah. Just like, you know, growing our own herbs and, you know, lavender or things to eat or
growing
herbs.
Our own
food. Yeah. You know, then we're doing that. So I think that's kind of neat. As far as my garden plans, I'm going to continue to try to conquer this hell strip and beat that grass down. I'm looking forward to, I mean, I just hope it all goes well and that everything does decompose and nicely and the mulch coverage stays good until I have time. I calculate because they say it takes about 6 months or so for everything to decompose enough for you to start planting. And I had done it late fall enough that because I knew I couldn't plant first thing in the spring. Right. And that's my busy season. It's all my busy seasoning, but that's particularly a challenging time that I can't think about my own garden. So I'm planning for like more of a June time frame, you know, late June time frame, mid-June if possible. And so I am going to be planning this winter when I have chance to think about what I want to put in. But definitely have to be tough things. Mm-hmm. The salt is that's because I don't have a sidewalk. So this goes right to the street.
Oh,
I'm a corner house without a sidewalk. So the south facing, tons of sun in the summer. That's where the snowplow dumps all the snow and the salt.
It's riddled with salt.
So it's one side is, it's kind of like a triangle. One side is the street. One side is my driveway that my sons love throwing salt at. Mm-hmm. And the other side is an existing garden. So really, that's going to be my challenging spot. And so that's one of my big plans for 2017. What about you?
You know, I'm going to continue with my grow my own kind of trend. I just have a little apartment and a little balcony. So I'm really kind of testing the range of herbs I can grow. I have partial to full shade. So lots of container gardenings. Which herbs and veggies can I push?
Right.
I did the Sweet Million last year.
How did you actually get a Sweet Million plant?
I did. You know what? I have... It's east facing and I get maybe about 8:30 in the morning till 2 in the afternoon.
Oh, that's still not bad.
Yeah, she grew about six and a half feet tall and a little lower yield on the 1 millions than normal. But yeah, so I'll play around. But I get a lot of little sun in the big pots. So,
right.
You know, I can play with different veggies, and I'd like to try carrots this year and some radishes, some shorter cooler season things.
Yeah. And lettuce is easier to grow with less light,
right?
And do you have a wall? Because I know I have those
little partition-y kind of thing.
No, it's a bag. It's what's it called?
That green wall bag?
It's not green. Mine's black because it's made from the recycled pop bottles. It's like a fabric and it's a pocket. I think it's Grow Pocket. I have to look it up what I have. So I have it screwed to my fence. So I have it, it's about, 2 feet, maybe 1.5 feet wide. And it's a big pocket. And I grow my lettuce in that on the fence.
See, no, I don't know what that is. Yes. That's something new. So, you know what? I will have to talk.
I will have to take up. Yeah, because it was cool. And I don't take it down because it's screwed so nicely. It has grommets. It's made really well. It wasn't cheap. It's made very well. And its grommets are really good. And so it's screwed so well into the fence that we haven't taken it off. So it has survived 2 winters. Now this will be its third, I believe. So it's done well.
Nice,
yeah.
Sturdy. Yeah,
yeah, well for built. Sure. And it's like a great little way to grow lettuce because because the other thing, if you put lettuce in a pot, they can get away from you, right?
Yes.
It grows more than you can kind of consume.
You can,
so
yeah.
This, probably I could probably have two of these, because we do eat a lot of lettuce and I like the variety. But it's worked really well. So yeah, and it holds its moisture too. So when I water it. It's not so bad.
It doesn't dry out and bake on the fence or
nope.
in the sun or
no.
wind. Or,
no, so oh. it's done really well. So, yeah.
I'll have to look for those. I have some nice vertical space to consume.
Yes, vertical space is always good, for sure. And so I think that... I'm not going to give up. Like, I think I'm going to try that Sweet Million again. Cause I've my joke is cause last few years, I'm the only one in my household that eats tomatoes, but I kept growing too many tomato plants. So we couldn't, and then the squirrels would get them and, raccoon, I don't know, somebody would get them. So they'd grow big and I wouldn't get much on them. And so I just thought, I'm going to go back to the cherry tomatoes and just do those and just buy one this year and not have like three that I'm looking after and focus on the peppers and the herbs and the tomato plant. And then this tomato plant grew into this monster plant. And then my son's like, yeah, that's not a cherry tomato plant. And it wasn't. And it got the, I forget what it's called. When I asked people for help on Garden Chat, because even as it grew, before it even started to ripen, the bottom started to rot.
Oh, the blossom end rot.
So it didn't have enough calcium.
It's usually, calcium and magnesium thing.
Yes.
I've read a few sources where there is a fungus supposedly involved. Okay. A little bit of lime sulfur as they develop.
Okay.
Will help, but
yeah,
I didn't get to test it on mine.
Yeah, so then it was even more frustrating because not only did I not get the tomato plant I wanted, it was growing big tomatoes. And it
Didn't
had
rot
everyone
out.
Would rot out before I had a chance. So so that was hopefully nobody else emails us. We're locked out of the computer now. But I want to thank everybody for listening. I hope you enjoyed our little chat about the garden trends of 2017, our plans. We'd love to hear yours. Please, like I said, email us here at instudio@gmail.com. Joanne@downtoearth.ca. It's okay.
Oh.
Just in case.
Oh, okay. There you go.
Someone could be listening and think, they didn't get to my question.
Yes, that's right. some technical challenges for us today, but it's okay. And I'm really looking forward to talking to Steve Lawrence from Sweet Dream Farms.
That should be exciting.
Yeah, that's going to be good to talk.
Good show.
And there's lots of exciting plans he has to expand. So I'm looking forward to hearing about the bees and some other new plans he has for the farm. So I think that's going to be exciting. So I'm looking forward to that. So please tune in next week. And what do you have on the go in the winter as I put you on the spot again?
In the winter and on the spot. not too much, really. Just setting up for a nice new spring. Getting lots of new fun things in the garden center, setting up.
This is the time of year where all the new products come in.
Everything
and you get
comes
to see.
In.
Have you seen any macrame planters yet?
None yet. You know what? There's actually, if you were joking about making them, if you were to be able to make them and Etsy them or something, there might be a market for that because we don't have any big suppliers for macrame. They're really hard to find, but there's a good demand out there for them.
Really? So, well, if any of our listeners know of
a
crafter...
Yes.
There you go. And if my mother-in-law is still listening and she wants to pick up some extra income, you can. We can maybe make some macrame planters. So that's neat. I think it ties. It's funny because it ties in with the vertical, the hanging,
gardening.
The people with small spaces,
yep.
wanting things up. It definitely, it all seems to get connected, you know. And I think we're going to, do you think the trend of going back to tie-dyed and bell-bottoms is going to kind of tie in that too? What do you think, Gary? Are we going back to the hippies and the
I think it's full circle all the time, that stuff. It always comes back around. I feel that.
Yeah, I think so too. I think it's really, you never know what's going to come back, but.
No, that's true. That's right.
You know, so you know what we're talking about when we're talking
about
macrame. Yes.
Of course, I love
your mom
macrame,
and I know your mom would have some.
I actually made one in art class with beads and everything.
Oh yes,
I did,
for sure.
Yep, I love that.
I know, it's really interesting to see them. You know, I literally in a Better Homes and Gardens magazine. I'm sitting in a doctor's office going through the magazine. And I was like, wow. And it was, you know, and for light fixtures too, like,
absolutely,
you know, because that trend now for those pendulum type,
those big Edison
pendant,
bulbs?
The Edison bulbs and the big pendant lights.
Yes.
And, you know, so it's a big bulb and kind of like an interesting ornate, you know, very almost clean line, like wire framed type, you know.
Yeah, no, I know.
Casing for the
saying.
Light.
Yeah.
I know it's video. You guys can't see. No video. You guys can't see me describing it with my
and
hands.
And Joanne doesn't want to be on video.
No video. Now Matt's on board of the video. So now I'm really in like two against one here.
Right, if you'd like to see Joanne shot on video, we can.
There you go.
Turn Matt's microphone off. Yeah. So yes, lots of we could do that. Yeah, we'll do some building. Matt wants to build a terrarium online on Reality Radio 101
all the time.
Yes.
I think it'd be cool.
Yeah, it'd be definitely something to be cool, something for sure. Yes. So we want to thank everybody for listening. It's been a lot of fun.
And thank you to Tom. Sorry, we did see that email. Tom, you did write in. Thank you very much. He was wishing us a happy new year.
Yes, and it's too early to rake your leaves, Tom.
Yeah. No raking your leaves yet. I don't know where you are, but you might not be able to rake them tomorrow.
Yeah, for sure. So yes, we're getting some more snow here in the GTA, apparently. And again, we thank you, everybody, for tuning in and for joining us on another year of Down the Garden Path. And we're looking forward to bringing you lots of more informative tips and tricks and advice, right? Yeah.
Yes. Thanks, Joanne, for having me on again.
You're welcome.
Sure, we'll talk again.
That's right. All right. So thank you very much for listening to Down the Garden Path here on Reality Radio 101.
Thank you for listening to Down the Garden Path with your host, Joanne Shaw, right here on Reality Radio 101.